Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for this session. I don't know if you had a chance to go to the general session with Jane McGonigal, but if you did, wasn't that fabulous? Now we're going to continue our educational adventure into this afternoon. My name is Shelley Alcorn, CAE, and I'm your host for this session. I'd like to also welcome our online audience that we have in 400 different locations across the United States and internationally. I just have a couple of housekeeping notes before we get into our program. Number one, please take this opportunity to silence your cell phones or other electronic devices. We are going to have opportunities to ask questions and answers of each other during the session, but because we're streaming to an online audience, we would really very much appreciate it if you would use the microphones that are stationed, one up here in the front and one back there in the back. I think we're in like second day conference fog, so people are just starting to shout things from the from the audience, and it's much better if we could actually have our online audience hear what you're saying. So please be good about that. And also, we would like to encourage you to complete the online evaluation for this session. We'd like to have you complete it on site if possible, but some of you do need time to reflect. So the online evaluations will be open a few days after the conference. You can find them on the session details page within the online agenda, on the mobile app, or in the virtual conference center on the session page. And now I'm going to kick it over to Amy and to John to take us through DIY ebooks. So hold on to your hats, folks. We're ready to go.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming to our session, DIY eBooks. I'm Amy Sugar. I'm an instructional technologist at Rollins College. Rollins College is a private college located in Winter Park, Florida, just next to Orlando.
Hi, I'm John Rabel. Everybody hear me okay? Great. I'm an instructional designer at the University of Central Florida, located in Orlando, Florida. We're the second largest institution in the nation with just over 60,000 students.
Great, thanks, John. So in the spirit of our presentation, we're talking about open source tools, open educational resources. We just wanted to start off and let you know that we have applied a Creative Commons license to our PowerPoint. So you're welcome to take anything that you'd like to use for your own needs. And so this PowerPoint is on the EDUCAUSE website. And additionally, we wanted to save trees, so we did not print out any handouts. But we do have a resource online as well on the EDUCAUSE site with links to all of these tools that we're talking about, and also some additional resources that you may find helpful. So please make sure that you check that out. And also, they're all hyperlinked, so it'll be easier for you to electronically click on those. And that also has a Creative Commons license on it as well. So today, during our session, we are going to walk you through the process of creating your own ebook from start to finish. I'm going to start off the presentation and just talk about, why would you want to do this and some of the decisions that you would make as you start to design and develop your ebook. Also, like I said, we're going to share lots of free and open resources that you can use in this process. But by all means, if you have tools that you're already using and they meet your needs, then you use those. But we just tried to find, some free open options for you. We're going to share some open educational resources, so places you can find content to put in your books, images, videos, and so on, free tools to help you edit this content. And then the main tool that we are going to focus on for this presentation, it's an open source tool called Sigil that you can use to create an EPUB. So why did we choose this? Well, open source and it's free, but also it's multi-platform. So if you're a Windows user, a Mac user, you can use this tool to create the EPUB. And just as a little side note, like I was saying, if you're going to use iBooks Author or InDesign, or there's a lot of great tools out there, a lot of the concepts and ideas that we're going to share will absolutely transfer and apply to that process as well. John is going to give you a live demo of using Sigil just to show you the process of taking the content, putting it into this tool, and share some of the features and some of the benefits and challenges of using this tool. And then also talk to you about some things to consider. How do you implement this? How do you evaluate it? And we're going to stop a few times throughout to allow for questions and answers. So we're going to start with a low-tech, old-fashioned poll, just for the sake of time so we can get to our demo, just by show of hands here for our live audience. But our online audience, you can chime in the chat area with yes or no's to these questions. So our first poll, show of hands, how many of you are familiar with the term EPUB? Which is what we expected. Excellent. So almost everyone raised their hand. This has become a standard format, so you're familiar with that. The next one, how many of you have consumed an EPUB? Okay, great. So we still have almost everyone here. And then how many of you have created an EPUB? Excellent. So I see about maybe 10, 20, you think? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good. And then let's check in with our online audience. They're quiet. Okay. Well, if any, we'll check back. Okay, we'll check back with that. Excellent. So you're familiar with EPUB. We're not going to get into a lot of the details or technical aspects of that. But we're just thinking, why would you want to do this? We have a lot of experience. We work with faculty and help them design online classes. But there's times when the faculty members may want the students to have some content package that they can use outside of the learning management system. Maybe something that they're going to use beyond the semester and beyond the course. EPUB is device agnostic. So some of you may be in a situation where all of your students have iOS devices, so iBooks would be a great option for that, but I think most of us, we're not in that situation. And so we want to create something that all students can access. It's not device dependent. And also students can access the EPUB via desktop or laptop as well. And then along with that comes all the great functionality that you get with these mobile devices. So keyword searching, glossaries, highlighting, zooming. The learning management system may or may not have this functionality, but there's just a lot of great features available. So as instructional designers, we love talking about goals and objectives. And so that's where we start in this process. What is the purpose? What is the goal? Why are you doing this? A lot of times we think of ebook and we think textbook, right? So, that may be the situation. Maybe there's a faculty member who they don't have a textbook that meets their curricular needs. And so they need to create something custom for their course. But I think a lot of the faculty members that we work with, they have an excellent textbook, and there's no reason to reinvent that wheel. So we want to start thinking, what are some more creative ways that you can package content for students and utilize this resource? One example may be supplementary materials for the students. Another one is creating a standalone resource. Maybe the students are going to go do field work or an internship, study abroad, or service work, and maybe there's something that you want to package for them for that. The example that John is going to demo today, it's an actual ebook resource that he's creating for a course that he teaches, an educational technology course. And this is a resource he wants them to have beyond his course and have access to for the rest of their professional career, or at least their college career. So that's what he's doing. And I recently worked with a music professor who did a really neat project with his students. He had his students as a final project. They worked together to create an ebook resource that they could take. These were future music educators, and it was something about different musical concepts, how would you teach these concepts, and lesson plans. And so it was packaged in an ebook, and again, they can take it, they can have this forever, beyond the course and outside of the learning management system. Some other things to think about as you're starting to design the ebook is, how will students consume this? Do they need internet access, or are you going to package this ebook so they don't need internet access? A good example would be videos. If you put videos in your book, let's say you have those videos on YouTube, and students need the internet access. But you can also package the videos so that students can be offline and can access that media anywhere, anytime. Something else to consider, dynamic content versus static content. If you have content that you're thinking of packaging in an ebook, and this is dynamic content, it's constantly changing, you need to update it frequently, then this isn't going to be the best option. Maybe that would be better suited in the learning management system or on a website where you can easily update that, and then you don't have to have students re-download it and worry about redistributing it. But if it's something that's a little more static, and of course, you can maybe update it semesterly or annually, but just something else important to consider. And then you keep hearing me talking about the learning management system. If it is a blended or online course, you know, think about what is the relationship between this ebook and the learning, the content you have in the learning management system. So since we're from Orlando and we're from the other Disney, we couldn't resist putting a Disney directional sign in here. So where do you go now? Now you know what you want to do. So what do you do now? So you start by creating and gathering all of your content. And you know, oftentimes you're not starting from scratch. You probably have a lot of existing content and existing materials. We kind of joke about this because, you know, we've worked with a lot of professors and helped them design their online courses. And so during those initial meetings, you know, we ask, what existing content do you have? Oh, I have these great PowerPoints, I have all these images and I have all these videos. Oh, okay, well, where did you get them? Oh, I don't remember. I've been using them for years. And so we have to say, okay, well, we need to talk about copyright. That's an important aspect. So you definitely want to think about that and make sure you're covered. You probably have a lot of great resources on your campus, so you know, refer to those policies, library resources, general counsel, so whatever your policy is with fair use and other things. So another great option is to search for existing materials. We know there's a lot of great open educational resources out there, images, videos, music, all sorts of great things. On the ebook resource page that we provided online, we have links to several of those, like Creative Commons, Internet Archive, Wikimedia Commons, and others. So I just wanted to do a quick informal poll just to see how many of you are currently searching for and using Creative Commons materials. Excellent. So we have about a third of the audience there. Do we have any online responses? Not yet. Okay, still quiet. Okay, good. So we have some consumers of EPUBs in the online audience. Excellent. And then, of course, the third option, if you have the technical means and the time, you could build from scratch. That's what John did in the book he's going to demo. He created his own graphics. He created his own videos. So that is definitely another option if you can do that. And then we move into the design phase. So you're really going to spend the majority of the time here. You have to think about the overall organization. What is the scheme going to be for the book? Chapters, sections, topics, very similar to designing an online course. Then you just want to start outlining it because, you know, you're probably going to start going one direction and realize, oh, you know, I think I'm going to rearrange this and move this here and change that. And we really recommend doing this outside of the tool that you're going to create the ebook, because that way you're not focused on the technology and you're not getting frustrated trying to design and develop in this new tool that you're using. So kind of keep this part separate and do this up front, and it will save you a lot of time in the development phase. A recommendation we have, and John will show you why in a second, is just kind of keep all of your materials in one folder. As you gather your assets, your images and videos, and you have everything, just keep it all in one folder. Don't worry about, you know, breaking it out and naming it, because again, if you're rearranging things, it's just going to cause you more time in the end. All right, so another poll question. How many of you are experienced using styles and formatting in a word processor? So for example, applying heading styles. Okay, so let's do that one more time. I'm going to specifically ask about heading styles. Excellent. So we have a good majority in here. Do we have any online?
Great.
Excellent. So the reason, and so you're probably familiar with this, but formatting is extremely important. So first and foremost, to help you organize everything, but we're also big proponents of accessibility. So you want to think about accessibility up front. We want you to be proactive and not have to go back and retrofit your content for accessibility. So the process, you can take your content and start building it using a word processing software, and then formatting that, so applying those heading styles so that you can identify the chapters and sections and so forth. The really nice thing about doing this ahead of time is that those headings will transfer into Sigil, and John will show you that magic in just a second, and that will really help you to structure and organize the content there. So also a student using a screen reader is going to be able to easily tab through all this and access the content. So alt text for images, you can do that either by adding the description or, you know, making sure you're describing it in the text. So universal design principles and, you know, accessibility web standards, I'm sure you're familiar with those. On our handout, we do have links to several things. Of course, WebAIM is an excellent resource. We built a resource at the University of Central Florida when I was there, in an accessibility tips page that we link to. And also, the Ohio State University, one of the EDUCAUSE listservs that I'm on for accessibility, they shared an excellent resource that they're building and gave me permission to link to it on our handout. And it's ebook production tips, and it's phenomenal. It talks about design and also a lot of accessibility considerations. So as you're building content, you're in this word processing document, adding your text. At this point, you really only need to add placeholders for images and videos. You don't need to worry about putting that all together yet, because that's what you can do when you're in the actual tool to produce the EPUB. And then font, again, you know, sans serif, just good practices for web accessibility. And then text size, you don't need to worry so much, because the user will control that on their device. So there's one more important step before you start actually building using Sigil, and that's prepare media. And John is going to take over from here.
Great. Thank you, Amy. So when you prepare the media, the first thing you want to do is, if you're using images, is you want to resize them outside of Sigil, because it's not a image editing. It doesn't have the scaling ability. So you're going to want to use an outside editor. Down at the bottom, we've got several different free and open source tools. You can use Pixlr. That's a great free, it's just like Photoshop. You can upload an image, you can create an image, edit it. We recommend probably about 500 pixels by 500 pixels. That all of the text specs that you see right here are on our resource. Online, so you don't have to frantically jot down all the different specs. Trim audio and video clips. Audio Audacity is awesome. It's been used for a long time. You can record your own narrations in it, or you can edit an existing one, publish it out as an MP3 format. With video, I put MPEG Stream Clip up there. That's a great free editor. All the tools we list up here can be used on the Mac side or the Windows side. So we're trying to reach as many people and as wide as audience as possible. With video, if you have an existing video, say it's in a Windows Media format or if it's in QuickTime, anything but a SWIFT file. SWIFT files like to just stay SWIFT files for some reason. You can use Handbrake. Handbrake is a great free open source encoder that use the default profile. We've got all the information on our handout, including the sizes and so on and so forth. One quick thing I did want to say with video, we do take accessibility really seriously at UCF and Rollins. The EPUB format, we're using the EPUB 2 format. That's what Sigil writes to. It doesn't write to EPUB 3 yet. In EPUB 2, there's no way to include the closed captioning track that HTML5 is now starting to incorporate. So you can use Handbrake to burn in subtitles. So you can do open captioning with Handbrake if that's a need of yours. If not, within Sigil, you can point to a PDF file that is a transcript, or you can make a separate page later on and link it. So we just wanted to give that disclaimer. So without further ado, I'm going to get into developing Sigil. I'm going to show you around. Sigil is a wonderful tool. I'm going to go ahead and transition here from the PowerPoint. So first of all, I've got the different materials here on my desktop. So these are all of my assets that I've collected. I've got images, and I've got video, and I've got my text document. So first of all, I used OpenOffice. OpenOffice is great. We've used Word. We tried this with Word first. However, when we copied it over into Sigil, well, everybody knows Microsoft has encoding and formatting issues. So we decided to use OpenOffice, which takes care of a lot of those formatting issues. So I opened it up with with open office. And notice I've incorporated a lot of the design principle that Amy talked about earlier with headings. This is a placeholder for superscript, so I'm gonna keep that formatting. I got my heading too. And then here, for instance, I highlighted and I'm saying, hey, this is where my video is gonna go. And right above it, I'm telling my students, hey, watch the short video right underneath. So I just wanted to give you an example of what the content looks like. All this I've done in the previous stage before I bring it into Sigil. So all I'm going to do, it's all on one page. I'm copying it. And then I'm going to open up Sigil. So this is the default view. As soon as you log in, this is what it's going to give you, and I'm going to walk you around. Up here in the upper left-hand corner, it looks very similar to Word. You've got File, you've got Edit, you've got Tools. Those are going to be the areas that we're in the most today. Right underneath it, it's got the formatting bars. So for instance, right below it in the upper left, you've got your H1s, you've got your subscript, superscript, you've got different tools over here, insert. One of the things I wanted to point out is that we're in something called Book View right now. So this is a WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. Very similar to Dreamweaver, how it's got the design and then the code view. So if you're experienced in HTML, you can go through on the back end and you can tinker into the code view. Because here's the code view. No, faculty don't really like code unless they're in computer science. So notice over here on the left, it's got this structure. It's got text, it's got styles, it's got images, it's got fonts, audio, video, and miscellaneous. So one of the beauties with EPUB is that it's got a structure to it. Every EPUB is going to have this structure. So when I bring in images, it's going to put it in the images folder. It's going to put it in the audio and folder and stuff. So for instance, with styles, you can use your own custom CSS if you want to. We're not going to get into that today. However, if you're a more advanced user, that's one of the power, that's why this tool is so powerful, is that you can use it as a beginner or you can use it as an advanced user or anywhere in the middle. Now, notice I've got up here where my cursor is in the middle, I've got the area where I'm going to be working. And over here on the right, I've got the table of contents. Now notice that the table of contents is blank for now, and I'm going to get back to that later. So find and replace. So now I'm going to paste in my content. Notice that all the headings came over. I'm going to scroll through the content. All of my placeholders came over. All of my highlighting came over. However, you do notice that there is an issue with spacing. That's one of the, you know, you're going to have to tweak it with spacing a little bit, but it's really, really easy to go through and just go through and tighten it up a little bit. Now, I'm going to show you how to do certain concepts, but I'm not going to go all the way through this today for time's sake, but I'm going to show you the finished product at the end of the presentation. So I'm going through tightening it up. Now, for instance, now to turn this into superscript, first I want to delete it. Just press 1. I'm going to highlight it. And up here on my bar in the middle, I'm just clicking superscript. Now, in the final draft, this is actually going to be a hyperlink or an anchor tag down to my references area because this content I used, I'm citing it. So next, I want to put in my media assets. But first, I got to bring them into the project. So I'm going to go up to File, in the upper left, Add Existing Files. So as Amy said earlier, with putting all of your content in one place, that helps you bring in everything at the same time. You're not cherry picking from all over. So for instance, I'm going to select my images and my videos, bring them in one file swoop. Now when I did that, over here on the left-hand side, now images and video. It knows by the file extensions where to organize it. And that's why using MP4s and using MP3s are very important, because it's hard-coded into the system, and also JPEGs and PNGs. So now I've got my assets inside of Sigil. Now I'm going to delete my placeholder, and I'm going to go up to Insert, File. And it's going to bring over all of your images, your audio, or your video, and you can filter. I'm looking for video, writing objectives, hit OK, put you back up the top. But now right here, I've got my video. Now, it won't show up right now, but in the finished product, the video will be displayed right here. So now I want to do that same action with an image. I'm going down here. I've got my image. I'm deleting the placeholder. Going to Insert, File, Image. And I'm doing the revised taxonomy. Now notice, I wanted to point out here my file names. They're just not 1, 2, 3. A neat feature that Sigil does is that it'll take the file name, and by default, it will put it as the alt tag. So you can save yourself some time is naming your files as the alt tag descriptions. So it's a real great trick, saves you a lot of time, and it also it helps you remember what the image is for. So I'm clicking OK. In there, it's right in there. So that's pretty much what we're going to go through with editing the content. I did want to show one other thing. Notice I've got all of my content on one page right now. And then there's only one page of text over here. However, I chunked things out by the heading ones. So between the heading ones, this is a heading one right here, I'm going to put my cursor, and I'm going to make it its own file. So right here, I can use the toolbar, or I can go up here to edit and split it cursor. Notice over here on the left-hand side, under text, now it automatically created a new document. So now it's got everything below the cursor. It's got all the way down to my references. And then in section one, notice it's tabbed up here. It's just like Chrome, Firefox. So it's actually pretty slick. You can go back and forth. I just have the content for why use objectives and planning. Now, I can rename the files over here to why use objectives. Learning objectives. Just so when I'm editing this document in the future, I don't have to remember 1, 2, 3, 4. It's descriptive, just like the images. So now, assuming I went through and did all the steps to the rest of the document, I'm towards the end. I want to go up to Tools, and I want to generate the table of contents. And this is another important time saver, going back to why designing is so important and formatting is so important, is I can generate the table of contents based off of my headings. So it's a real time saver. Notice there's a blank one here, so there's an empty H1 tag somewhere. Don't worry about it. All you gotta do is unclick. So now I've got my table of contents built out for the students based off of my headings. So it's a real time saver. If I need to make any changes, rearrange, I can do that I can just do that from this screen. I'm gonna click OK. And over here in the right-hand side, my table of contents has refreshed. Next, I want to go up here to Tools again, to the metadata editor. So now I'm going to edit the properties of the EPUB file. So going in with the metadata editor, if you've ever consumed an ebook before, it's about the title, the author, the rights, the publication date. So now I'm just going to put John's Quick Guide to Learning Objectives. Sure. So now that's the basic information. Now I want to add some more information. So I click on Add Basic. And it's got a lot of different fields, but we're only going to deal with two of them today. So we're going to deal with the date publication. All I had to do was double click on it, and it knows today is the 17th. Well, the system knows I didn't even know it was the 17th. So you didn't have to fumble around with that. So Add Basic, and we're going to go through, and we're going to put the rights on there. Like Amy said earlier, our presentation is Creative Commons, so what I've done with the book is I'm going to make it Creative Commons as well. So I'm going to type Creative Commons 2.0, share alike license. So this metadata will be attached to this EPUB going forward. Now, if you had an ISBN number, you can add that as well. If you are writing a book or a more substantial work, you can add that as well. Click OK. And then now we're going to save the document. So go up to File in the upper left, hit Save. It's going to ask me where do I want to save it. And it's going to ask me for a name. So I'll go say EDUCAUSE example. And most importantly, it is saving it as an EPUB file. So I'm going to click Save. Notice it gave you a status update. It is saved down in the bottom left. I'm going to exit out. And our EDUCAUSE example is right here. So do we have any questions concerning Sigil at the moment? Okay, we have some from our online audience.
We had a question from the online audience asking if they can transition from something created in Sigil to iBooks author. They're wondering if there's a straight export.
That's a great question. Unfortunately, I don't know that. I believe iBooks author can open up EPUB files. I'm not 100% sure, though, but that's something searching through the iBooks author help will help with that. Sigil does create HTML files on the back end, so you can either copy and paste the text in the editor, or you can import HTML files or existing files into iBooks. All you have to do is rename the EPUB file as a zip file, unzip it, and there are all your artifacts. So it's just like a common cartridge. If anybody uses Instructure Canvas and has done that in the past, it's a nice little trick. Anybody else? Okay. So now we're going to show you the finished product on an iPad. And now,
number two on the top switch.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I clicked the wrong button. There we go. We're up and running. Sorry about that. So now I'm on my iPad. I'm going to open up iBooks. Now you do have to have an app. Now it opened up at the last page I was at, and now I'm in my, I only have one book, because I don't think anybody wanted to see all my other books, and I open it. I'm going to go back to the beginning using my table of contents. So now we didn't go over how to put a cover in, but that's actually pretty easy. So now we've got the table of contents, we've got the licensing information, we've got our headings, we've got video. So students can make it as big as they want. Yeah. All of the content in here is actually Creative Commons. So this is all of the content except one of the images and one of the other videos. So for instance, these images are Creative Commons. And this is a video I you may have seen this on YouTube, but I changed it for the new Bloom's taxonomy compared to the original. So this is something I just wanted to include. These are all embedded inside the EPUB, so there's no internet access required. And I can go through, I can control the brightness. You may not be able to see it on the projector. The fonts, I can change the font type. I can search. And go to the different pages. And also I have the going through, I do have the anchor tags. I take it back to the references. And notice that I clicked on the hyperlink and it brings it. Well, I don't have wireless right now. I turned it off so nobody would iMessage me during the middle of my presentation. So now going back to our presentation, I just had a few things to wrap up in our presentation. Now that we've got this document, notice that I had it on my desktop. Now how do I get it to my students? Now there's a couple different ways to do it. First, you have to tell your students they do have an app, have to have an app to read this from their device. Also, we have apps listed on our resources page for iOS, Android, and Windows, because I know how many apps are there for Windows, like 1,000. But, so, you know, you can put it publicly, you can list it in the Apple Store, you can list it in the Google Play Store, or you can put it out there on a website, you can put it privately for download, you can share a Dropbox link to your students, you can put it up in your LMS if you want to track how many hits you've gotten to it, you've gotten how many downloads. And another issue about implementation is DMR, or DRM, sorry, digital rights management. Unfortunately, Sigil doesn't support this. So this ebook will not expire if students have had access to ebooks in the past where they've rented for 180 days and then they've expired. This one they can keep, and that's my intent with this ebook. And then of course the evaluation, you always want to create a survey for students to ask them about their experience, ask them what devices they've used, ask them about the functionality that they want. If an EPUB isn't going to be enough functionality for what they want to be able to do other things that EPUB can't, that iBooks can. So take that into consideration and then reflect on the design and the development process. Is there something that you could have done to save yourself more time? Is there something that, hey, I really like this, how can I get it out to another constituent group? And think about, Amy touched on this earlier, the refresh cycle, the maintenance. Depending on your content, are you going to change this annually? Or are you going to change this every semester? Or is this a one-time shot? Since we do have a few minutes left, I did want to show I did want to show that the EPUB can be read on the computer as well. And this is the real power of the EPUB, because a nonprofit group has developed Readium, which requires Google Chrome, which is free. It's an add-in, it's an app to Google Chrome. There is a link on the resource. So I can take it on a mobile device, or I can use it right here on my computer. Notice the formatting is a little bit different. Formatting is going to be different for every device. We did not apply any CSS to this. There are ways to control formatting, how much text is on the page, but we didn't include that for this presentation. So for instance, with videos, they play right in here. I accidentally closed the PowerPoint. So now we're going to open it up for questions. Any questions from the whole presentation?
We have a question from the online audience. Can students highlight and or write notes in the body of the EPUB?
Highlight, yes. Notes is good, depending on what app you use. So whether if you're on an iOS device or on an Android device, I know iOS, the iBooks app does allow you to highlight. I do not believe with EPUB it allows you to write notes or type notes. But that functionality is going to be more app-driven rather than from the EPUB. So are there any questions? Please feel free to step up to a microphone.
Oh. Quick question.
Yes.
What do you think is a practical limit on the size, the download size?
That's a great question. There is no size limitation of the file. The quick guide that I created here was 45 megs. So it's rather small. Of course, video is going to grow your EPUB size tremendously. So with video, I would look at that online versus offline in your design phase. Maybe there are videos that are critical that need to be included, and maybe there are some videos that you can link out to YouTube so you don't grow the size. Size of the EPUB would just, I would say, don't make it more than a gig. I know a gig sounds huge, but the device, I have an older iPad, it's 16 gigs, and that's something that they can keep on their computer or they can keep on the device.
Quick question too.
Yes.
Does Siegel have mm-hmm. the version control capability?
Does it have what, I'm sorry?
Version control, like you have multiple
versions. Oh, versioning?
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge, no. With your EPUB, you would mainly do that by the modify date, and you would add that to the metadata. And then if you needed to save a different file, you would just save it as an additional file, like version 1.0, version 2.0, so on and so forth. But for the user, it would show up in either the date modified, or you can put that in the metadata.
So getting started with Siegel, what's a key, you know, to learn it, to get the hang of it,
mm-hmm.
to get the knack, what do you recommend?
Time with the tool. And as we've mentioned throughout this presentation, start with something outside. Start with your content outside. If you have a module, if you have a Word document that you want to make into an EPUB format, start with that, follow the headings, follow our little style guide, and then just copy and paste into it and just start editing, and just keep clicking. That would be my solution.
I don't know if this is not on. Here. And I'll just add to that, too. They have a really good tutorial, and we have a link to that in our resource. So as I was learning the tool, I kept going to the Siegel tutorials, and all my answers were there. So it's very well developed, and they have, I think they even have a community, too, where you can post
yeah.
questions and ask. So they have some really good online resources for you as you're learning this tool.
Yeah, great point. And that link is on our resource.
We have some faculty members that are interested in building their own textbooks. Do you know any like repositories that can easily share those textbooks once they're developed and easy for other institutions possibly to use those and students to get to those that are in a more centralized location?
They can be uploaded to any open repository. There are several links on our resource to OER resources. Merlot, OER Commons. I remember I was reading one, I think it was from OER Commons, and I went through and I read the whole book. I know if you were looking outside of the EPUB format, Wikibooks, part of the Wikimedia Commons, is they actually have a section devoted to textbooks. Okay. Yep. If you'd step over to the mic, please. Do we have any online questions?
No.
No? Everybody's pretty quiet.
Hi. Do you have any strategies that you use for actually disseminating the ebooks after you've created them? What do you think are the best methodologies to actually get them out onto the devices?
What I plan to do is I put it up in the LMS. I would tell my students to go to the LMS through the web browser and then download it directly onto their device. Another strategy that we've used in this development process is to use Dropbox, is to actually put it up in Dropbox, and when you open in Dropbox, actually, let me switch over and show that real quick. I hit the right button this time. So, for instance, I have the educause.epub right here in Dropbox, and I click over here, and I can open it up with the app on the device, and it would automatically copy it over to that app and open it up. So Dropbox is another good way to do that.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions? Well, thank you very much for coming to our presentation today. Once again, the resources are on the EDUCAUSE website, and we'll stick around for any other questions up here. Thank you very much.